Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
In Exodus 3, Moses has now been watching sheep. He's been in this part of the land for 40 years. 40 years. It's been a long time since he saw Egypt. It's been a long time since he lived in the palace. It's been a long time since he dressed in finer clothing and ate the finer foods and enjoyed the comforts of a palace or royalty. A dream, almost another life, but now here he is in this desert. Not just any desert, but the backside of the desert. A lot of times when we say the backside of that property or the backside, it's the place that's least desirable. It's not really a place we want to be, but this is where he finds himself. And when they were singing that song, it just came just a few moments ago, there's never been a day, never been a minute, and there's never been a moment that you weren't in it. Sometimes I think that we believe that God only begins to order our steps when we finally find a place of repentance and baptism and new birth. But I promise you this, that God, he lets it rain on the just and on the unjust. And all souls are mine, saith the Lord. God has watched you from your inception, from before your inception. And he has watched every step you took, and he has planned out everything in your life, places that you would have to encounter him. Don't miss your burning bush. The backside of the desert is not somewhere I really want to be for my God moment, but that's where Moses found his God moment. Sometimes your God moment will take you to places that are uncomfortable. The word of the Lord just told us that he was going to, the pain and the things he was taking you through, those difficult things, it was so he could heal your pain, so he could get rid of some things. Sometimes for you to find the call and the purpose that God has for your life, it might take you out of the comforts of the palace. It might take you away from family that you've always known, and it might put you in a place where it seems barren and desolate and where there's really not much there, but it'll be the place where you can finally truly meet God. One thing I love about that story, I was talking with Brother Nathaniel earlier, I said, you know, I love when the Lord instructed Moses, he said, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. God doesn't want anything between you and him. He wants you to stand firm on the ground that he's prepared for your walk. I don't want anything between you. You may think these are helping you, but I'm telling you, in this holy ground, you don't need those man-made things. You just need to trust me and stand in the place that I tell you to stand. If this story tells me anything, is that God is always involved in what's going on in our life. I don't want to miss my moment. I know they said Wednesday night that in the message, I haven't heard the message from Wednesday, but Jake was preaching and talking about be in the moment. Don't miss the moment. And then Brother Nathaniel was talking about the encounter when Saul of Tarsus had his God moment, his encounter. I heard my wife say while she was ministering up here on the platform that this is a God-ordained moment from one side of the room to the other. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. You better know today that you're sitting here and God has placed you here. One thing I realize is this. Hear me. You can't live in the future. And you can't live in the past. You can only live in the moment. If you're sitting in this house today, you can only live in this moment. You can only breathe the air of this moment. You can only hear the words of this moment. You can only feel the presence of this moment. You can't live off what you felt yesterday or what you think you might feel in the future. But right now, today, today, if you will hear His voice, the Scripture says, not to harden your heart, but hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, I'm trying to preach to you today that this is your moment. Don't miss your burning bush. Don't miss this place where God has picked and chosen, set this time up to meet with you, to talk to you, to deal with your heart. If He didn't care about Moses, He could have left him in Egypt. He could have let him been caught. He could have let things go differently. He could have ignored Moses for the rest of his life, but He had already intended on talking to Moses about what his next steps would be. When is your burning bush moment? Moses could probably sit and recount about all the great days maybe that he had in Egypt, the things that he enjoyed, the things. And if you think, well, he didn't like Egypt, well, let me tell you, Israel liked Egypt. They said as much. Melons and leeks and fish and meat and fowl and drink, and it was comfortable. And even though we were building buildings for the Pharaoh, still we had plenty to eat, plenty to drink, plenty to make us comfortable in our chains. Somebody mentioned that today. I don't want to be trying to pad my chains so I can hang on to them. I want to get out of them. You've got to live in this moment. And even now, Moses has spent 40 years. He fled Egypt, and he meets his wife by chance at a well where they're trying to water their animals. And he fights off a group of men that are giving them a hard time, and they water their animals. And he becomes the son-in-law to Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he has now spent 40 years building a new family, building new relationships, building a new profession, building a new home, raising children, just living another life. 40 years is a long time. Anybody in here been married 40 years or better? Do a lot in 40 years, don't you? That's a lot. You've seen a lot of things in 40 years. You feel like you've lived several lifetimes. I'm 57. I feel like I've lived several lifetimes. There's so much that happens each stage of your life. It goes different. But none of the things, none of the wealth you accrue, none of the name that you make for yourself, anything you build, anything you have, anything you've done, while it may bring you notoriety or it may help you in this life or in this world, it doesn't mean anything without your God moment. Everybody will have a God moment. Everybody. For it's not the will of the Lord that any perish, but that all come to repentance. What leads us to repentance? The goodness of God. Everybody will have a God moment. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Everyone will have that God moment. It's the moment that God calls us. We know that the Scripture says God has called us from darkness into His marvelous light. It's one thing to hear the call. It's another thing to heed the call. Sometimes we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So we think, well, I heard it and I've got faith. But faith without works is dead. We've got to heed the call. We've got to go to where God wants us to go. Do what God wants us to do. This is a moment that we don't want to miss. I don't want to miss it. I want to know it. I want to recognize it. I want to understand it. That's the whole thing. The whole part, this whole great story, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel or the good news, it lets us know that God Himself has sought us out. And God wants us to walk with Him. We know that Jesus would find His disciples and say, follow me. Brother Nathaniel talked so well and taught so well about Saul of Tarsus today. Saul had a God moment. It took him to a very difficult place that he probably didn't want to be. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus that you persecute. That was not a very great place to realize that he is now meeting the King of Kings that he thought he was defending, that he was, I thought I was doing a work of the Lord and I was actually working against the Lord. It took him to a place of realization, understanding that God has chosen me. I am a chosen vessel and I'm going to suffer some things for his name's sake, but this is my God moment. I don't dare miss it. I can't go home and think about this. This is the moment. This is the time. This is where God and I have intersected. This is where we have met together. This is where we are today. And friend, you are in his presence today. I don't care how you got here. I don't care if you thought I didn't really want to go to church today, but you're here and you can only live in the moment. You can't say, I'll wait till next Sunday. You may not be here next Sunday. Hello? You don't know where you'll be tomorrow, but today you know where you are. Will you hear what the Lord is saying to you today? Have you been wondering, should I be getting closer? Are you wondering, should I be doing something different? Have you been wondering, should I lay that aside? Have you been wondering, should I get more serious about my walk with God? I'm telling you today, all those questions will be answered in the moment. Will you respond to the voice of the Lord in this moment? Gonna have to wake us up, Lord. You gotta help us, Lord. We gotta hear. Let me tell you something. We humans are smart and we think we got it all nailed down. But walking with God was never our idea. We're good at running from God, but it was always God that instituted this walk, instituted this time. Even in the very beginning of time, it was God who created man and woman and placed them in the garden. And God would come and walk with them in the cool of the day. God would spend time with his people. And even when they messed it up, hear what I'm saying to you today. In the most perfect place ever, with less trouble, nothing. It was perfect. It was all God's creation. It was brand new. It was fresh. Even there, man found sin and tragedy. But even in Adam and Eve's darkest hour, they still heard the voice of the Lord calling to them. And I'm telling you today that I don't care where you've been or what you've done or what kind of mess you made, that God is calling to you in this moment. In this moment right now, the voice of your Creator that formed you, that gave you your calling, gave you your dominion, gave you everything that you need, he's still calling to you in your darkest days, in your worst fears. God still, you can't hide. They tried to hide from God, but while they were shivering in naked and ashamed, they could still hear the voice of the Lord, because nothing, not even death, can stop the voice of God. Hey, come on, when Lazarus was dead 4 days, he couldn't stop the voice of God. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, it shot through to Lazarus. It brought him back to life. You need to hear in this moment today what God is saying to you. Praise God. When I think about Adam and Eve, it just reminded me of how the Pharisees brought a woman. They said, we caught her in the very act of adultery. They brought her to the feet of Jesus and said, Moses said we ought to stone her. So what do you say? And he gave them such a great answer that you without sin cast the first stone, and being convicted by their own hearts, and said they dropped their stones and walked out. When Jesus looked up, it was nobody but him and her. And he didn't rail on her. He didn't fuss her out. He didn't pick up a stone himself. He just looked at this woman and said, where are your accusers? No man, Lord, it's just you and me now. Isn't it wonderful that even though you might be caught dead to right, you might be caught red-handed, that when you and God get together, you can get a word that'll keep you living? Darling, go your way and sin no more. neither do I condemn you. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, that there's God moments that we need to be recognizing. And you may feel like because you've messed up or you've done something wrong or you've done this, that God can't speak to you anymore. But if you will just open your ears, you'll hear that sweet voice of the Spirit saying, I'm still calling. I'm still calling you. I'm still reaching for you. I'm still trying to get you to where I want you to go. You know, I was trying to get myself in the mind of God this morning, thinking about Adam and Eve. And I thought, you know, that was pretty early on. You know, it's in the beginning, God. It's only two people. Wouldn't it have been easier to just erase them and create two more? Fix what was broken them and just create two more. Just say, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. And it's only two. It's in the beginning. You know, wouldn't that have been easier? But that's not what God's about. I'd rather restore them. Hey, look, don't think he never thought about it. When Israel raised up against Moses, he said, just step back, Moses, and I'm going to wipe them out, and I'll raise some more people up. Moses stood in between and said, God, don't do it. So I would thought, that's a whole nation. This is just two. You think God wants to erase you, but God wants to restore you. God wants to resurrect you. God wants you to hear the call. He wants you to fulfill the purpose that he's put on your life. We don't just live this life to ourselves. We are his. Our body is his. Our spirit is his. It's all his. We're supposed to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. It belongs to him. He purchased us with his blood. Don't miss your God moment. It's very easy. Sometimes it's different for people. Saul's was very, I'm Jesus. Another man that Brother Nathaniel mentioned this morning was the rich young ruler. His God moment came in the form of an answer to a question that he asked. Master, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus simply looked at him. One recording of it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack, sell it all, take up the cross and follow me. That was his God moment. But trusting in the things that he had, being able to let go of what made him who he was in the world, was too hard at that time in his life. And it says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He missed his God moment. Who would he have been? And like I said, we don't know the rest of his story. Maybe on the day of Pentecost, when they were devout men from every nation, maybe he was one of the 3,000 that was added that day. I hope he was. I hope he realized what he missed and he came back to it. And that's the great thing, is that sometimes we miss it, but God is always calling. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That doesn't mean we can't miss our calling. God did not force Moses to listen to the voice that came out of the bush. He did not force Moses to turn aside and go see this bush. Moses could have said, well, 40 years, a lot of crazy things in the desert. I'm going home. I'm tired. And he would have missed his God moment. My God moment was in the response to a statement I had made on a Tuesday night, or just a response that I gave to someone else. And the next night in service, God spoke through his word. And I could have been distracted. I could have been anywhere. Or I could have decided not to show up that night, and I would have missed what God was trying to do in my life. But because I was there, I heard what God said. And it was so simple that it could have just been overlooked. But I'll never forget it. That's how powerful it was. And I knew that God was mindful of me. Never been a day. Never been a minute. Never been a moment, God, that you weren't in it. God, you kept me for that moment. You ordained that day. you ordained January the 13th, 1993, for me to be sitting in that pew, in that place, to hear that word so that I could understand what you wanted to do in my life. I'm glad that I did not miss my burning bush. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is the one who plans the entire journey. He's been planning every aspect of your life. The scripture says he is the author and the finisher. The scripture actually says that we should run this race that is set before us with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But I must run. I've got to be there, or I'm going to miss my moment. If I'm not doing what God called me to do, I'm going to miss my moment. God is speaking to you today in this moment. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know sometimes we don't understand everything that's going on, but listen to what the writer said. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That's how you live in that God moment. You're just going to have to trust him. You're just going to have to believe him. We're going to have to understand that God knows what he's doing. Abraham had a moment with God when he said, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, take him to the mountain that I tell you of and offer him for a burnt offering unto me. I don't understand that, God. I know you don't, but will you do it? Abraham did not miss that moment. This time it was a different thing found in the bush, but there was a ram hid in the bush that provided the answer for Abraham and for Isaac. Job would say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've got to trust God in the giving, and I've got to trust him in the taking. It's easy when good things happen to say, whoa, God planned that. Look how God blessed me. Look how God set me up. But God also plans the rough and rugged side of our walk. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. He will lead us up the rough side of the mountain. And if we only celebrate the good days in God, then we miss him on the many days when our hearts are broke and our spirits are crushed. You are never nearer to God than when you're going through it, because he said, I will not leave you or forsake you. Psalm 34 and 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You just can't take God out of it. And you can't take yourself out of it. You got to just do like Moses and just be there. You got to show up. You got to be at your burning bush. You got to get in that moment. You got to live in that moment. And if you, right now in this moment your heart is being crushed, just know that God is right there beside you. You're not alone in this. Oh, it's quiet. But that's good. Because now I know you're listening. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you in this moment. Evidently, he's been setting this up. On August the 10th, on Sunday morning, I was going to preach this message. In between the services, while everybody was coming in, I went into my office to just pray for another moment, look over it, and it was like God said, nope. I rushed up to Brother Matthew and said, here, I need you to change this out right quick. And it was exactly right. The message that needed to be preached today was preached, and God said, just hold on to this one. So evidently, God's been setting this up since Wednesday and since Sunday school this morning to help us understand God's watching, God's leading, God's guiding, and God's got a moment. This is your moment. If you are here today, this is your moment. There's no throwaway, wasteful services. You're not just killing time in the house of the Lord. God is speaking to his creation. His ways are higher than ours. I don't understand why he does it the way he does. I just know he does it. God is, you can't control God. God's, it's just unpredictable sometimes what he will do. John said in John chapter 3 that the Spirit, where it comes, how it goes, we can't even tell which way the Spirit is blowing. It calls him Ruach, a wind, a spirit. God moves and we hear the sound of it, but we don't know where it's coming from and we don't know where it's going. That's the way God moves in our lives sometimes, and he does that. God's got his own time. God's got his own rhythm. God knows what he's doing. He's sovereign. I need to trust his sovereignty in whatever season I find myself in, that God is watching out for me. I know that waiting patiently is not hardwired into the DNA of humans. Anybody ever felt frustrated serving God? I wish somebody would say amen. Tell the truth. Oh, not me. Mm-mm. I ain't never been frustrated about it. Yeah. Sometimes we get frustrated because it's in our nature to be impatient, to just get it. But God, who has his own timing, he left Moses in the desert for 40 years. We don't get that. If God told you, I'm going to answer that prayer, but I need you to wait 10 years, you'd be back at the bargaining table. 10 years? 10 years, God? That doesn't mean you're going to be miserable for 10 years. It doesn't mean, for 40 years, Moses had a wife, children, family. He wasn't around kicking rocks saying, I wish I was back in Egypt. He wasn't missing his stepmama. He might have been missing his real mama and his family, but he had a family. He had kids. He had a wife that loved him. He made new friends. He was living life. God was doing things in his life, getting him ready for the next phase to go back and be that deliverer that God needed. But if God said, I need you to wait 5 more years, could you do it? You knew it was God. Could you do it? Whew. So how are you doing with it? Ask yourself, how are you doing waiting on God? How are you doing when it seems like prayers you've prayed are just unanswered? It doesn't mean God doesn't hear. God hears your prayers. God hears your voice. He understands. When circumstances pop up in your life and it seems like it destroys everything you were planning. You just had your path laid out. That's the problem. We have our path laid out. But God has got a calling. And no matter how important you think your life is, it never rises above that calling. Paul called it the high calling. It's the high calling. And Paul, he said, in the flesh, ain't nobody can touch me. Tribe of Benjamin, Pharisee of the Pharisees, concerned of the law, blameless. And I had it all down. I've never, from my birth, I've just been schooled in this. You can't touch me in the flesh. He said, but I count all that loss that I might win him. From the time he knocked me down on that road and put this call on my life, I pressed forward for the high calling in Christ Jesus. It's a high calling. And it's not greater than my pedigree. It's not greater than what I've done in this world. I'll lose all of that just to win him. I don't want to miss my burning bush moment. But when our perspective on God's plan for our life, if our view of it, if it's not aligned with his purpose, that's when we get angry, bitter, devastated. I thought it was going to be this, God. Well, lean not on your own understanding. What is required for us is what I've already said, looking unto Jesus. Our focus as we run this race with patience is that we should be focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher. The author and the finisher. He is the writer. He is the completer. He's going to do it. He's going to finish it. He's going to do the work. God will do it. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. Trust His timing. Believe in what He's doing. God does nothing in our lives that is not according to His timing. He doesn't bring us in earlier or later than we should have been brought in. Every great and commanding movement in this world, anything that's ever happened in life on planet Earth, was divinely stamped with God's timing. Even He couldn't come until it was the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4, it said, in the fullness of time He came. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, He poured out His Spirit. Everything has His time on it. Every season that you're in is governed by His timing. Every storm will subside eventually. It will finally end. No temptation is endless. Psalm 30:5, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You can trust God's timing. If you're tempted to quit, encourage yourself in the Lord. Be like David. Encourage yourself. Remind yourself where God brought you from. Remind yourself where God found you. Remind you of the times that God has come through over and over and over. The difference between just a mediocre life walking with God and excelling in it is understanding that walking with God is not just a sprint or a jog in the park. It is a daily relationship filled with divine purposes. Have you lost your passion? Passion is internal. It's what allows you to keep going with the same conviction that you started with. Passion keeps us from simply going through the motions. Passion allows us to see ourselves finishing strong. Paul had passion. I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. In this race, this journey, this walk requires patience. The scripture says we have need of patience. And then after we have done the will of God, we would receive the promise. God is not inclined to, you know, this 21st century microwave society, God doesn't microwave His people. He doesn't microwave His leaders. He wants you to wait. You don't get the Moses of the Exodus without 40 years on the backside of the desert. Moses couldn't leave Egypt and turn right around and come back and do what God needed him to do. He needed that 40 years, whether he realized it or not. God is more concerned about the formation of your character than He is about your comfort. Oh, sorry. Look, He said, I won't leave you comfortless. I was thinking about that when they were talking to Brother Nathaniel. He was talking about that cross this morning. He said, God never said He would pad your cross. He just said, I'll comfort you while you carry it. I'll comfort you while you're going through it, but I'm not going to wrap your cross in pillows and cotton and bubble wrap so it doesn't give you splinters and get heavy sometimes. It's going to, but I will comfort you. Praise God. God lets us wait so we can learn patience. Turn off your stopwatch. Quit timing God. Quit looking at your calendar. Quit looking in your planner saying, God, when? God, when? God, when? And just trust Him. Brother Spale used to sing a song, and maybe still sings, but it says, when God unfolds the rose, He always gets it right. You remember as a kid, maybe going out in your grandmother's garden, you see a rose, and they just starting to come out, and it's just the little closed-up bulb. You know what you did next. You start trying to unfold it, breaking off the petals, doing it. It made a mess of it. It didn't look like a rose when you were done. It looked like a mess because it wasn't ready to open up yet. But when God does it, when it goes the way that God designed it, it opens up just right, And that's where you get the beauty of the flower. We can't do that. God does that. There's things in our life we've got to let God unfold. If you've been praying for something for any amount of time, it doesn't matter how long, for any amount of time, you know what it's like. You got high faith. Then it goes a little while, you get anxiety. And then you get depressed because you think it's not going to happen. So when did you stop trusting God along that process? At the beginning, you believed He'd do it, so you prayed and you psyched up. You just telling everybody, God's going to do it. And then when it didn't happen by the next service, I think you're still going to do it. Then a couple of weeks later, I don't know if He's going to do it at all. And when that becomes years, maybe God forgot about it. God don't forget. He knows what it's like. When you think about the story of Moses, it helps you understand that God's got His own sense of timing, things that have to happen. Moses was the son of Hebrew parents. He was supposed to be killed, but they hid him, placed him in the river. He was found, rescued, became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, had the best of the best, wore the finest clothing. I don't know, maybe he would have been next in line to be part of the kingdom. For all I know, he was Pharaoh's grandson. I don't know how that would have worked out for him, but somewhere in all this time, God had a plan on the backside of a desert. When Moses laid his head down in the palace to sleep, God was letting a bush grow on the backside of the desert. Because one day this is where I'll meet Moses. You notice that He never told Moses, you're going to deliver anybody while he was in Egypt. It never says He had any idea of the plan. He didn't know till God spoke to him 40 years later out of the midst of a burning bush. Don't be upset with God if He doesn't reveal everything immediately. You won't miss it if you'll be here. If you'll be in the moment, you won't miss it. Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's amazing how close we quit sometimes. Oh, we give up so close to the line sometimes. Just about there. If we could see in the Spirit how close we were to some of those prayers being answered, and we quit so close to God doing what we need to do. And you can stand with me this morning. God prepared that bush for him and Moses to meet. Moses didn't have to run looking for the bush. God knew where it would be. He knew where they would intersect. Because there's never been a day and never been a minute. And there's never been a moment when God wasn't in it. Maybe you need to stop chasing and just start running with patience. Your destiny will find you. Proverbs 18 and 16 says, a man's gift makes room for him. God's going to open that door. God's got the place prepared already. Your responsibility is be there. God's not going to uproot your bush and plant it somewhere else. He's already got it picked out. And in case you didn't hear me earlier, today, this moment, because you can't live in the future and you can't live in the past, you can only live in the moment. You don't know what God's going to tell you in the future yet, but you can hear what He's saying to you today. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, I don't think I gave you this scripture, but Paul wrote to the church there that now is the accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. In this moment, in this time, in this place, on this day, September the 7th, 2025, God already knew the songs they would sing. He knew the lesson that Brother Nathaniel would teach. He knew the word that I was going to preach, and he knew every ear that would hear it. And now is the accepted time. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, if that's been something you've putting off, why not today? Behold, here's water. What doth hinder you from being baptized in his name? This is your moment. We don't schedule our moments. This is your moment. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, it's your moment. Today, this is your moment. If you need healing, touching your body, why not today? Why not do what the scripture says and call for the elders, let them anoint you and lay hands on you and pray the prayer of faith? Don't miss this moment. People always ask, I wonder what the difference is in the church of yesterday, where our grandparents went, and how they talked about signs, wonders, and miracles. You know what? Because they lived in the moment. They didn't know if they would get another opportunity. They didn't know what tomorrow held. They didn't know if the Lord was fixing to come back. They lived in the light of eternity, wondering, is this the day that God comes back to get us? Will I take my last breath tonight and not make it to another? So they lived in the moment, and every service they came in, they came worshiping and praising and expecting and listening, ready to grow, ready to be encouraged, ready to be corrected, whatever it took, but they were ready to respond because they knew this was our moment. This is our burning bush moment. This is where God is speaking to my heart, reaching for me today. Let's just close our eyes and bow our head for just a moment. I want you to just feel after the Lord for just a moment. What's the Lord saying to your heart right now? What's the Spirit speaking to you right now? What have you been putting off? What have you been neglecting? What have you been praying for? What are you waiting for? This is your moment. God is reaching for you. This is your moment. This is your day. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. While they get ready to sing, I'm going to just open the altars and ask you to come and pray, because this is your moment. And all across this altar in the Spirit, there are burning bushes waiting to speak to your spirit today. All across this altar, all around this room, there are burning bush moments. They've been happening all service. God's tugging on people's heart, touching people's hearts. It's hard, I know, when we realize that we've been slothful, and sometimes, just admit it, sometimes we have to say, I've been lazy. I haven't been faithful. I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I love the Lord, I believe in him, but I've gotten distracted. But I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to get on that holy ground. I'm ready to remove some things that are between me and God so I can stand in the place that he called me to. I'm ready to get some things out of my life that are hindering me, because this is my moment. When God spoke to Moses out of that burning bush, Moses had to make a decision. I've got to leave this land that I've been living in for 40 years. I've got to go away. I'm going to leave my wife. I'm going to leave my children. I'm leaving things that are dear to my heart so I can fulfill what God's got for me. Maybe God's asking you to lay some things aside, get some things out of your life that shouldn't be there, so that you can do what he wants you to do. Praise God. The Spirit's speaking to his people today.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.